The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFoss Corporation, LLC.
I wake up in the middle of the night and I look up and I see this sort of gray hovering. I was just beside myself. There is something in this room. Then I felt the presence of the ghost suddenly in the bed with me. That is what set me off. I threw off the sheet, then I got up and I ran. And I remember I was petrified. I ran to the door to get out screaming at this ghost. And I went to the door. And the key wasn't there. And that's when I flipped the light on and turned around and saw this presence. I remember a look of sadness with sinister quality. And I was screaming, looking for the key. The key was gone. There was no way to get out without the key. When I found the key, it was far away from the door. And then I just put the key in the door. And when I turned back around, it was gone. I got the key in the door, and I left the room. I was definitely ready to get out of that room. I checked out the butler in the front desk. Told me the hotel built in 1892 and had such history. They had been through such trauma and devastation during World War I. There's a legend of this ghost. A soldier in World War I, something that happened to him during the war. I start putting the pieces together. The fact that this ghost in my room was watching me and touching my face and sitting in bed with me, and something must have happened to him or to someone he loved, and he couldn't quite let go of it. Maybe there was something about me that reminded him of a time in his life. But it's obviously had a long history with a lot of trauma. And I think that this particular ghost is just unable to leave a memory. And it's always interesting to me to think why ghosts are here, why they haven't moved beyond.
Hi, I'm Nora Trucello, two-time best-selling author and international speaker on intuition, and you are listening to Real Paranormal Activity Podcast with Aaron Hunter.
Welcome. I'm Aaron Hunter, purveyor of paranormal stories, the occult, and the unexplained. Welcome to RPA. I hope you enjoy your stay. Hey guys, Aaron here, and it is Monday, March 15th, 2021, episode 256. How's everyone out there around the world doing? And as always, I'm glad to be back in the hot seat. And man, it is getting warm over here. Spring is upon us. Can't wait. But it's been an easy week. Yeah, not too much to announce, except for, obviously, tomorrow is Tuesday, and Aaron's Horror Show will come out with a brand new episode. And this Wednesday, a brand new episode of Terry's Mysterious Moments as well. But I should mention that Season 3 of The Witching Hour is coming back. Season 2 ended in December of last year, and next month we should have a new video for you guys for Season 3. And if you didn't know, they're part of the Friday lineup of videos. And I should also announce that due to their hard work, Season 2 got the Onirus Film Award for Best Web Series. And also, they got an honorable mention for Best Web / TV Series at the New York Movie Awards. Good job, guys. Good job. Your hard work paid off. And that also reminds me, if any of you guys out there who are listening also have their own paranormal TV series and you want to be on the network, merely send me an email at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at RealParanormalActivity.com. Give us a link. Let us take a look at it, and we'll see what we can do. And also, that reminds me, if there's any paranormal podcasts out there, or even podcasts of the weird and strange, and you want to be on the network, do the same thing. Send me an email, show us an example of your work, and we'll be back with you. And don't worry, there's no money involved. The network eats all costs. You pay nothing. I know, crazy, right? And I think that's it. We're also going to do listener stories yet again. Man, we put a big dent in the backlog. That's a good thing. It was getting pretty big. And also, if anyone else out there also has their own paranormal experience that they want to share to the world, merely send it to Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at RealParanormalActivity.com, and I'll read it off on a future episode. And so with that, let's get the show on the road. And you guys know what that means. Oh, yeah, man, come on. Say it with me. Say it with me. To the story, then. Follow me right this way. No pushing, no shoving. And the fires are blazing nice and toasty warm in here. The nights are still chilly. Grab a beanbag over there in the corner. Find an empty spot on the floor. And as usual, get behind my desk here. And Britt sent me her packet by email. Let's see what story she chose. I printed it off. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We got a long one here and two short ones. All right. Let me take a sip of my green tea real quick. Wet the lips, you know. Oh, yeah. It's so good when it hits the lips. All right, the first one. This one is by DeCom, and it's titled The Visitor. Okay, DeCom, let's see what you got, man. I'm not sure how old I was. Maybe 11 to 12 years old. My parents had split up when I was young. It was my time to stay with Dad, which I had no problem with. My dad has his moments, but we get along. I was staying with my dad in an old farmhouse just outside of town in a place we'll call the Goon. Dad hadn't been there long, and it was the first time I'd stayed there. The farmer that owned the place had a small flat not far from the main house. He milked the cows every morning, but never came in. He was a younger man in his late 20s or so. He had inherited the place after his granddad passed on. I didn't know that at the time. There was a man that was renting one of the rooms there as well. He was in his 50s. He was okay, I suppose. He kept to himself most of the time. But he would come in and out of the main house to cook in the main kitchen. He had a room in the back of the house. But he and Dad got along, so he would come in and sit and watch TV and chat with my dad sometimes. It was about 9:30 p.m. when I went to bed. As I was getting tired, and as I do most nights, I laid there for an hour or so, tossing and turning, until sleep finally comes. I woke up late in the night. The room was like ice. The hairs on my neck stood up. I got the feeling of someone watching me. I was facing the wall away from the door. As I turned my head, half asleep, I saw an old man in what looked like old work overalls standing at the head of my bed. Thinking it was the man renting the other room, I didn't even really look at him, but noticed an odd look on his face, like the one you get when you're not meant to be somewhere. I just turned over and said, "Get out of my room." I pulled a blanket up to warm my neck, and then dozed slowly back to sleep. In the morning after I got up, I told Dad about it, still thinking it was the renter, and thought, he'd better tell the renter to stay out of my room, as I was known for having quite a temper on me at that age, and still do. Dad looked at me and said, "What are you talking about, son? The renter had gone camping at about 12 o'clock the night before." I later found out the old farmer that had owned the place had died there, and I was in his room. Thinking back on the way he was looking at me, no wonder he had that odd look on his face. Love the podcast. And that was from Dacom. Dacom, hey, thank you very much for sharing. And by the way, it says here he's from Australia. Pretty cool. Yeah, we get a lot of that stuff. In this case, it sounds like you weren't, you thought it was a renter. And you weren't scared at all. And it looks like it didn't do anything. It was just sitting there. Well, it wasn't sitting there. It was standing there looking at you. And yeah, he was wondering, what are you doing in my room, man? I wonder if he saw him again after that. He didn't mention that, but that's pretty interesting stuff. And yeah, like I said, it's not too unique. Every once in a while, the old owners will be hanging out there. Yeah, thank you for sharing. I loved it. All right. Yeah, good thing you had an old renter in the back and it was night and you're groggy. And, you know, if you're alone in the house and you know you're alone, that would freak me out. Nothing like waking up late at night and you see someone standing there. Yeah, the first thing I would think of is that it's an intruder, you know. Try to grab the baseball bat next to my bed, start swinging. All right, what do we have here? What's next?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This one is by Noodles, and it's titled Locked Door. Okay, Noodles, let's see what you got, man. Here is my story. I cannot be completely sure it's paranormal, but it's definitely not explainable. I live in England and grew up in a little village called Nayland in Suffolk. Our house is a Grade II listed building built in the early 15th century. The house has a friendly feel, and my family and I have only ever had one completely unexplainable experience in it. There are the usual knocks and bumps, but we have put them down to it being such an old house. However, one day, when I was about 12, my mom, sister, and I were all at home while my dad was at work. All three of us were in the living room and had been going in and out all day with no problems, until my mom went to leave the room to find the door was locked. All three of us were inside the room and there was no one else in the house. The door did have a lock, but the key was on the other side of the door. And therefore, it was not a case of one of us pulling a prank, as we couldn't reach the key from within the room. After we had jiggled, pushed, and banged at the door for 45 minutes, we were starting to get a bit stressed, as the windows in the room are also old, that they cannot be opened easily, and would have to be smashed for one of us to climb out and come back in through the front door to unlock the living room door. We tried the door a few more times to no avail, and my mom was just getting ready to smash one of the windows when we heard a small click. She walked over to the door and turned the handle, and the door swung open. None of us had been standing anywhere near the door at the time. Needless to say, after that incident, we never kept the key in the door again. I can't think of any explanation, as even if the key had somehow locked the door slightly, it would have come free with our efforts to open the door and not 45 minutes later, when none of us were nowhere near it. When I was in my late teens, I was told by my family friend that the previous owner of our house had, for some reason, had to get our house exercised about a year before we moved in, but would not tell me why, as he did not wish to scare me. As I said before, we have never felt uneasy or uncomfortable in the house, but that experience will definitely stay with me for life. I hope you like the story, and thank you for reading. And that's from Noodles. Noodles, thank you very much for sharing that. Great story. Very simple. Yeah, you know, we get quite a few stories. It's always the bathroom door. People are in the bathroom taking a shower or something like that, and they get locked in. And yeah, you know, they're playing with the, you know, they think it's a family member that played a trick on them, and, you know, all of a sudden they hear a click, and it's unlocked. 15th century, yeah, over there in the UK, man. All the architecture is really old. Must be pretty cool to live in a house like that. And obviously, the living room is, you know, cut off from the rest of the house. You've got a doorway to go through. You keep the key in the lock, and it's on the other side. But you guys have been going in and out, like the story says. And all of a sudden, your mom gets up to, you know, get out of the living room, and the door is locked. Yeah, it's curious, isn't it? But then again, at the end of the story, it says here, a family friend tells you that the old owner actually had it exercised for, you know, obviously, you don't usually do that unless there's something serious going on. So, you know, there could be a correlation there, but this doesn't seem too serious, and it sounds like you guys have been, as you mentioned, you guys have been living in the place for quite a while, it sounds like, and you never had anything bad happen except for this one unexplainable event. Yeah, pretty cool. Hey, thanks for sharing, Noodles. Yeah. Locking doors. Yeah, like I said, something about the bathroom. I don't know. I guess the bathroom door is you're in there for a period of time if there's something in the house. Yeah, normally bedroom doors don't have locks on it. So yeah, okay. The bathroom, if it wants to mess with you. All right, what else do we have here? Yeah, I can't wait for spring. Yeah, I need some warm weather, open up the windows, let the breeze come in, you know, air out the house, condo, and all that good stuff, wherever you're at. Take a walk, no more jackets. Yeah, I'm ready for spring, man. Okay, what do we got? What's next? This one is by Jackson, and it's titled Apartment. Okay, Jackson, let's see what you got, man. This story is about my experience whilst living in my first apartment. This story is a little long to get into, as I have probably gone into too much description, so I apologize for that. No, don't worry about it, Jackson. I like detail. Detail's good. Alright, continuing on. After working in the same office for over a year, I finally had saved enough money to find a place of my own. I have never lived away from my parents, but I decided that I just wanted to be closer to work and to gain some independence. Me and my roommate rented an apartment on the second floor in a relatively old-looking building, just next to an industrial estate, and within a 15-minute walk to the nearest train station. So, it could be noisy during the day, but dead quiet past 7 p.m. The building itself was aging. A few bits of paint in the hallways had cracks running down the wall. The window frames were a little drafty and no elevator to use, but it didn't matter because this was my first apartment and it was bearable considering the rent wasn't too bad split between us. We moved in during October of 2013 and had settled into our barely furnished apartment. Everything was fine for the first week, but things started to change, and I had a few complaints about the neighbors upstairs. We could hear the couple upstairs arguing and slamming the doors shut, which would commonly happen every 2 or 3 days during the night, and sometimes if I was awake during the early hours, midnight to 3 a.m., I could hear heavy footsteps from upstairs pacing around the flat upstairs. It was very annoying to live with, but neither I nor my roommate were the type to complain about it or confront them. During December, we both left the apartment for a few days to spend the Christmas and New Year period with our families. I returned a day earlier than my roommate, and I came back to find the sofa cushions had been thrown on the floor, the chairs had been knocked over, the mirror had fallen off the wall and smashed, and the freezer had been turned off. Before we left, we made sure everything was turned off except the freezer. Nothing was stolen, and no one had access to our place during that time. I couldn't think of any explanation for this, so I just tried to ignore it and clean up. After 3 months of living together, my roommate had to move out as he accepted a new job in South London, and so he moved back in with his parents due to location. I found myself living alone in this apartment, with double the rent to pay for most of the final 3 months. My sister is like a magnet for ghostly happenings and eerie events. Anyway, my sister came to stay with me for a few weeks with her young children due to private circumstances. She slept on the sofa and the children stayed in the second bedroom. One night, my sister was awoken by her children screaming for attention. So she went to check on them, and they were terrified and saying, in their toddler speech, that the man in the corner was scary and that he pinched her. My sister has always easily been scared by paranormal things, so she slept with the kids on the sofa that night. Every night after that, they would be uneasy in that room and required her to stay with them until they fell asleep. I didn't actually witness this as I managed to sleep through it, but she told me about it the next day, and since hearing it, I refused to enter that room after they left. I literally kept that door to that room shut and didn't even enter the room for my final 2 months. During my sister's stay, she went upstairs to complain about the noise, but no one answered the door, yet the noise continued. We contacted the landlord to complain about the tenants, but he informed us that the apartment above us has been vacant since I moved in. But he insisted he checks inside to make sure there isn't anyone there due to other complaints he has had from other people in the building. Even stranger, I have seen lights on from outside the building. I called my now ex-roommate to talk about this, and he told me that he had experienced strange feelings in that room, a feeling of being watched from the same corner the toddler had pointed to, cold patches near his wardrobe, a constant heavy feeling of dread and strange faint knocking sounds from the wall. He had even heard a faint speaking coming from the sitting room while he was alone in the apartment. He told me I should get someone to stay with me during the remaining 2 months, but no one I knew wanted to move into somewhere for a short period, and I really don't want to find a stranger to move in. Now that the kids have left, the apartment was very quiet and felt so empty I could hear pretty much everything and anything during the late hours. The activity did die down a bit as I was staying longer hours at work and went straight to sleep when I returned. But during my last week, I had started packing everything up into boxes and had the lighter boxes stacked in a corner of the living room. A few nights later, I was awoken in the middle of the night by an extremely loud, long scream that came from outside my bedroom door. I sat in my bed petrified. A shiver ran through my entire body. I was staring at my door, praying that it wouldn't swing open. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to turn on the television, otherwise whatever it was might know that I was awake and it might show itself. I laid under the covers with my phone for the next 2 hours until it started to get light outside, and I managed to build up the courage to get dressed and leave for work. I noticed that my stacked boxes had been knocked over. I returned with two colleagues and collected my belongings and met with the landlord to hand over the keys. I moved back in with my parents. Now, my sister has started having strange things happening in the house she just moved into. I think it will be a while before I can live alone again. Even though I had a horrible experience, I'm just so happy I didn't choose that dark room and happy that I never actually saw anything. I have walked past the building a few times since moving out, and I always expect to see something in the upstairs windows. Love, RPA. And that was from Jackson. Jackson, great story, man. Holy cow. What can I say? You got lucky. Like you said, you never actually saw anything. That scream, though, that's creepy, man. Woken up by a scream right outside, what sounded like right outside your door, and you just sat there silent, and that was it. Yeah, you get up, you know, that's the last week, you get your stuff packed in the living room, you get ready, you walk out, and you see your boxes are tipped over. Yeah. Oh, man. And the toddler. Yeah, I'll say it again. Kids are creepy. Yeah, they're just creepy. But it looks like your roommate confirmed what the toddler was babbling about. Yeah, he never mentioned it to you. He just said it felt creepy in there. Yeah, a feeling of dread. Yeah, I get that. I hear that all the time when a place is haunted. Not all hauntings, but if there's something, you know, somewhat bad there, or something sad or whatever, can't explain it, you get a feeling, a heavy feeling, the air is heavy, that sort of thing. I read that all the time. Yeah, as far as the upstairs thing, that, yeah, you know, the landlord's getting other complaints, but it's empty, it's vacant. So, the whole place is haunted, right? You hear footsteps sometimes at from midnight to 3 a.m., and then every, two or three nights out of the week, you said you can hear them arguing and doors are slamming up there. Yeah, that's just spooky. Great story, though. Hey, thank you again for sharing. Yeah, that's a great story, man. First apartment. Yeah, I lived in some of my first places. I remember, I think I mentioned this, I lived in this, I rented out a farmhouse, what was it, $150 a month, way out, you know, I grew up in Iowa, and I was working at a data center, and if you don't know what a data center is, it processes all kinds of data. In this particular instance, late at night, the banks were sending us their information, and we printed off checks, and we saved their bank information for storage. And so a data center doesn't have any windows, it's secure because, you know, it has to be. And it's just a brick building, you know, it's plain. And so you got this code and you go through the door and you're there. Third shift, I forgot what I was working, 5 p.m. till, I don't know, I got out of there 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning and throughout the night. You know, I'm processing this data, printing off the checks for the banks, and I was there alone most of the time. And then a couple of people would come in, I don't know, midnight, something like that. But, you know, it was pretty quiet, and the printers made a lot of noise. And, you know, I wasn't, nothing haunted there. But, yeah, this old house, $150 a month, and this is decrepit, but it's affordable for me at the time. Way out there in the middle of nowhere, and the whole place creaked, the windows rattled. And the old farmer, he had dementia, and but he was rich, and he had all this farmland. It was like a little oasis. The house was surrounded by corn, and you went down this dirt driveway, and then it just opened up into this patch of nice lawn grass, and there was this farmhouse. The paint was chipping, you know, exactly what you think a haunted house would look like, but you know, nothing happened there. I remember one time I got snowed in there for 4 days. That long driveway drifts were just sweeping over snowstorm in Iowa, you know. But I remember living in that house alone, and you know, of course back then I didn't think anything paranormal, but now if I lived there I probably would you know, keep my ears open and my eyes open, peeled, but it didn't bother me. Yeah, that place was noisy, but yeah, no doors are slamming, no kitchen cabinets were randomly open, it's just the windows were rattling on creaks, and yeah, you know, the floors creaked and all this and that. But yeah, I'm rambling on, sorry. But yeah, reminiscing. I know what the first places are like. Whatever you can afford, man. And that is it. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got, guys. And so, with that, as always, we are flattered that you come over to the network, and hopefully you're finding a video or a indie film or a podcast, a show that you just enjoy. If you like them all, if you hate them all, or except for one, whatever, we try to provide a menu of, you know, something you might like. And as always, thank you very much to our premium members. Love you guys. And that keeps, you know, that pays the bills. And if anyone out there wants to be a premium member, what you get is the past RPA Monday shows, the archives. And you get all the bonus episodes, the listener stories, the interviews, and also audiobooks of folklore from countries from around the world. And there's a little bit over 30 audiobooks of those stories. Hours upon hours upon hours of entertainment. $3.99. Fairly priced. You get a lot for your money, and it helps us out. Not a donation. You get something for your money, and you can cancel anytime. Just go to realparanormalactivity.com. Big old button there. Press it. Create your own account. Or if you have our free app, we made it for you guys because we love you guys. Just do a search in your app store for Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, and you'll see our iconic aqua blue eye. And download that for free. You can log in through there for the premium membership. Or if you're not a member, you can create your new account through there as well. Fully functional video capability. And also, I might as well mention, we are on all the major platforms out there, streaming audio platforms such as Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc., etc. If you're at work listening to one of those platforms, do a search for us, Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, /network. And if you get tired of your music and you want to get your spook on, we're there. And with that, I am calling it. The show's been produced by myself and Britton, and is also made possible by LaFosse Corporation. And man, we love you. And as always, thank you and good night.
Yeah.